We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
For the longest time, this was the ringtone to my alarm clock. It's a good song to wake up to.
Get on up.
Yeah, get up. Bah.
Hit snooze. Hit the snooze.
Go back to bed. Lay in bed for too long and look at Twitter. What? Sorry. Is that what I do every morning? Yes. Do we have Stephen? Stephen St. John. How are ye?
And you still never watched Get On Up, have you?
No, I haven't.
I liked it.
Is that the biopic about James Brown?
Yes.
I'm watching Queen's Gambit right now, and I like it.
Susan and I finished Jack Ryan.
You already finished it?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, when we get something we like, we get after it. Marvelous. Fantastic. I need season three immediately. Thank you.
All right. I'll have to check it out. My wife and I are much slower in our consumption. We're two episodes into Queen's Gambit, and it's taken us a week.
Yeah,
oh, is that the
good.
Chess? The chess?
That's the chess one. Yeah, did you watch it, Steven?
No, I heard it, but I heard it's very good. It's on the list.
It was on. It was like number one for a while on the Netflix top 10.
Yeah, everybody's got to tell you it's really good to make you want to watch something about chess. You know, because you're like, well, I'm like,
not me, dude. I love chess.
You know what? It makes me want to go play. I haven't played since I used to play all the time with my uncles when
I was
a kid.
I got a board, man.
Well,
I'll bring
sure
a board in here.
Kick my ass, but
I would enjoy it.
I didn't think they would be able to make a show entertaining about it, but it is. It's. I mean, obviously, it's a lot more than chess. It's a. It's really.
What,
it's a good
see,
show.
See, what the hell's wrong with you?
Me?
Well, there was a great movie had a great scene about chess, History of the World Part 1. What do you mean that you can't make an entertaining movie about chess?
Yeah,
there's never been a more entertaining portrayal of the game of chess in anything that's ever
Knight jumps queen.
Right. Yeah, we should probably end it there.
Yep. You know, but, no more.
Hey, that made me as a youngster that made me think, boy, chess is really entertaining. Look at this.
The way they did it back in the French royalty or whatever before the revolution.
He mentioned French. Come on, it's been a long time.
The French, the way they play chess. Everything's so green.
Yeah, I mean, that looked like the most exciting game ever.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson.
Orson, can you tell me why you're so out of breath, please?
Action, please.
The French champagne.
Action, please.
Recognized in you know how.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
How disgusted Orson Welles was that he was having to do that for money to try to finance his films so he could get back and forth. That recognized as like one of the greatest directors and thespians of our time, and he's having to take direction from this guy in this commercial, and you know he's just drinking to get through it. And he just wants to strangle this guy. Like, you know, we heard the voiceover, the outtakes from the commercials that he did about fish sticks and the cod. Was just,
there was a fjord.
The cod swim.
He was absolutely disgusted at the things that he had to do for money to try to finance his films, and you could just see it and hear it. Action, please. She doesn't do anything.
Oh. Yeah, he just sits there in silence for the several minutes. Orson, it's your line. She doesn't do anything.
That's exactly right. Here's a fun story that I found for us. Tell me, this is a story of extreme stupidity and also tremendous luck. So
life.
Right. We talked about the Tyson Jones exhibition that, by the way, they're estimating that got over 1 million pay-per-view buys.
Wow.
But and for pay-per-view, that's unbelievable. You know, that's, I mean, that might be top 10 ever as far as boxing pay-per-views, but they were estimating between 1.2 and 1.5 million, $50 a pop. You do the math. No, seriously, you do the math, because I'm not going to. I can't, really.
It's a lot.
And so, right.
At least $1 million.
Yeah, it equals a lot. So, which did you think there was a coincidence that as soon as those numbers came out, Evander Holyfield released a statement last night challenging Mike Tyson to a third fight? Hey, Evander.
With headgear.
hey, Evander. What? This Tyson Jones did 1.2 million buys. I'm releasing a statement.
I still have one good ear. You can bite Mike.
Hello, everyone.
No, you can bite both of them.
He wants to. I mean, I think Holyfield wants to fight him, not in an exhibition.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm here for it. I don't care. I'll buy it. If you're wondering what dummy's going to buy it, here I am. But anyway, so listen to this. Tell me what you think of this story. So Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, after the exhibition at Staples Center, Tyson was leaving Staples Center, and according to sources for TMZ Sports, some fans were asking for autographs, and he obliged, and so he was signing autographs for some fans, and then a man allegedly starts kind of harassing him and calls him out and wants to fight him.
Oh, boy.
And so the individual demanded to know why Tyson would not fight him. And Tyson reportedly joked that he wouldn't fight him because it wouldn't end well for the man.
Right.
Which I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say Mike would be accurate. So the man's reaction to that was he then allegedly tried to take a swing at Tyson and then reached into his waistband. And they thought he was going for a weapon. He didn't pull a weapon out, but he took a swing at Tyson. He missed. And then before Tyson could react, the boxers, Tyson's team intervened and, you know, got the guy away from Tyson. And then Tyson left. That dude needs to find out every member of Tyson's team and send, I don't know, an edible bouquet or whatever. I mean, something. Some kind of gift.
A pajamagram?
Some kind of... Whatever, pajamas, yeah.
Yeah.
New pajamas from Pajamagram. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this guy, I don't know if he was on something or whatever else. Can you imagine the mindset of someone that would lead them to go up to Tyson on the street and take a swing? And boy, you better be glad that those people intervened. Hey, someone go ahead and guess. Right.
Unless that was actually Evander Holyfield himself.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, that's fine if it was in a boxing ring. If I'm Holyfield, I'm not dealing with Tyson in the street.
No.
That's a different deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if you're Evander Holyfield, you have first-hand gloves? Knowledge that he's crazy.
Right. If there's no referee, then I'm not interested.
No.
No.
So, that's a scary thought. I mean, that's honestly, I'm not, like, in all seriousness, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, that guy was...
God bless Mike Tyson's security team, right?
Yes.
Did their job.
Absolutely.
You might have saved the guy's life.
At least some major damage.
Yeah, but can you imagine just what would lead you up to that decision? Yeah, I think I'm going to take a swing at Tyson. Screw it.
Yeah, there's some...
Why not?
Your neurons aren't all firing in your brain. You either have some mental issues...
Or lack thereof.
Or you're under the influence.
Or you had some California champagne.
Yeah, a little too much of that.
Fermented, you've been fermented in the bottle or something. I don't know. Something like
French
that.
French champagne.
Action, please.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Like a little pause
Look,
there, too.
People,
I think
French,
you put an extra syllable in there.
French.
You hear this,
champagne?
But I encourage everyone to search the video because it really adds to it. Doesn't it?
Completely.
I think it does.
The audio is brilliant, and I love it, but it doesn't do the actual video justice. As great as that audio clip is, the video it doubles the fun.
He's like rubbing the bridge of his nose, like just he's so unhappy to be sitting at that table.
He's disgusted with what he's doing. You know, the Citizen Kane, and now this commercial. All right, same thing.
Rosebud,
right?
The Evander Holyfield's been known to do some outstanding commercials as well. When I was in high school, we had a thing called Channel 1. I don't know if you guys had that at your school.
Yeah.
Where they put it all the
time.
We got free TVs everywhere.
Dorm.
Oh, yeah.
All
in college?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They had it all over our dorm. It was on our Channel 1 in your actual dorm room. And then, like, in the cafeterias, that's all they would ever have was Channel 1.
The best Holyfield commercial was when he was after Charlie Steiner, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Steiner was hiding from him.
Get your whooping, Charlie.
Right. Charlie Steiner looked legitimately terrified in that commercial. I love that one.
So they Channel 1, I think that's where giggling CNN guy that we play all the time.
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper, I think.
Oh,
didn't
Steven.
He, they'd always send him to some random places just, in the world, you know, behind enemy lines.
No, that's
or some,
the first, Anderson Cooper, yeah, definitely where his guys
But
start.
They'd always do commercials, and they had a Burger King Breakfast Buddy commercial with Evander Holyfield.
Evander Holyfield, would you pop a buddy in the mouth for 59 cents?
You bet I would. If it's a Breakfast Buddy from Burger King.
The Breakfast Buddy sandwich. It's breakfast your way. Right.
I love the way he says, like, it's hard for him to say those syllables together. If it's a Breakfast Buddy from Burger King,
right?
He would pop a buddy in the mouth. That was
I would too.
Well, wouldn't you?
I have.
Doesn't that sound kind of delicious right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you pay to see Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson?
What's your guess?
Of course.
I had like fifth row tickets to go see Tyson's one-man show when he was going to be at the Midland, and I was so bitterly disappointed when he canceled, and they postponed it, but they never rescheduled it. Because do you ever listen to his podcast?
Evander Holyfield's?
No, Tyson's.
Oh, Tyson's. No.
Go listen to that.
I'm sure.
No, he's a one man entertainment system now. I watch him fight. I listen to his podcast. If his one man show ever comes back and we ever actually have those things again, I'll go to that. Yeah, I'll buy it. Why not? Look, I watched a fight on Friday night between Daniel Jacobs and Gabe Rosado, who's supposed to be a really good fight, title eliminator in 168 pounds, and one round of Tyson and Roy Jones had more action than the 12 rounds of that horrible fight the previous night. And again, I go back to this. People look to be entertained. And for 3.5-4 hours, whatever that was, the show they put on, I was highly, highly entertained. And that's all I ask when I pay for you. So, yeah, I'll watch it.
You know what?
Bring it on.
I actually have been wanting to talk to you about this fight that I watched while you were out. And you talk about the entertainment value things. Terrence Crawford won another fight, and he doesn't seem to. And what Bob Arum wasn't it? Bob Arum came out and said, like, you know, I can't get him any fights because he's not entertaining enough. And I'm thinking, well, aren't you? Isn't that the job of a promoter? Is to, like, if you have a guy that's like a world class fighter, isn't the promoter's job to promote him and make him a bigger deal? Or is that a fair criticism of Terrence Crawford in your mind?
Well, the criticism for Terrence Crawford would be that he doesn't give the best interviews,
right?
And he's been known to cancel a lot of interviews in the last minute, especially fight week. And he's very difficult sometimes for media members to deal with because he doesn't want to do it, you know. And I thought he tried. There was effort there in the post fight interview, but he doesn't want to do it. And part of it is selling yourself and getting people interested in you, not just the – because, like, hardcore boxing fans or even anyone that's somewhat of a boxing fan, they know who Terrence Crawford is and how good he is, and they're going to watch him anyway because you're going to see something great in the ring when you watch him. Because he's – if you make a list of the top 10 fighters pound for pound in the world, he's in the top three for sure. And so I mean, he's, you know, look, Marvin Hagler wasn't a great interview. Marvin
right.
Hagler was not, I mean, he was, people wanted to see him fight. They weren't, didn't want to see him talk, you know, but he fought everybody, right? And so, except for, you know, it took forever for the fight against Sugar Ray Leonard to be made. But the problem with Bob Arum and the promoters is they can't get on the same page to get their fighters that are from different promotions to fight each other. Like, everyone in that's a boxing fan wants to see Terrence Crawford fight Errol Spence. That fight should have already happened, and hopefully it'll happen in this coming year. but Errol Spence is a PBC fighter, you know, premier boxing champions, and Terrence Crawford is top rank with Bob Arum, and the promoters can't get their egos out of the way to be able to come up with the right split, not only for the fighters, but for the promoters and everything else, and the site fees and where the fight's going to be. And then you talk about different promotions have contracts with different networks, you know, top ranks with ESPN, PBC's, you know, Fox, and then you've got, you know, DAZN and everything else. And so it's not only the promoters, but it's the TV networks, and then it's the fighters, and what's the splits, you know, and they can't get on the same page about anything. So the bottom line is this: if he fights Errol Spence, if he fights all the guys that people want to see him fight, it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter what he says in interviews. You know, Bob Arum needs to point the finger at himself a little bit too.
Right.
But this weekend, Errol Spence is fighting on pay-per-view against Danny Garcia. Fabulous fight. Terrific fight. And then you add in the idea that Errol Spence a year ago had that horrific car wreck where, when I saw the footage of the car wreck, I certainly thought he was never going to fight again, and I didn't know if he was going to survive it. And he miraculously, I mean, he lost some teeth and he had facial lacerations and he had some facial injuries, some bad injuries. I don't want to minimize what he went through, but this is his first fight back and fighting a guy in Danny Garcia that would have been a tough fight even before this accident. And you don't know if he's going to be the same guy that he was. And so what people are hoping are he's the same guy and he can still take a punch the way he used to, and his face is going to hold up, and he beats Danny Garcia, and then we'll see Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. And if that fight happens, it ain't going to matter what Terrence Crawford says or what interview he gives, because that's the fight that people want to see. And so these guys just have to fight each other. And that's what right now UFC has over boxing, because the best guys fight each other because they're fighting under the same umbrella, under the same promotion. And so hopefully we'll see it. Because, I mean, there was a lot of interest. A lot of people were watching that fight on ESPN with Terrence Crawford. And, you know, and hopefully that this fight's going to be great on, even though it's pay-per-view, fewer people watch it because, you know, it's expensive. And hopefully this fight's going to be great on Saturday night. But, you know, we'll see.
I love the fact that ESPN's putting some good fights on for people like me that I'm not usually willing to. It's going to have to take a really big fight for me to plunk down that kind of money.
Plunk it down, baby. And let me tell you this, DAZN, like I've told you, I don't know if you have DAZN, because they have great soccer on DAZN. Siren, now I'm bringing it up. God, what am I doing?
Lecky did it too. I mean, it's just, it's sweeping the country.
But like DAZN, I don't know what, like if you got in in the very beginning, it was $9.99 a month. I think maybe it might be $19.99 a month now. So in like the next few weeks, December 12th, Anthony Joshua defends his heavyweight title on DAZN. Then December 18th, Triple G fights for the middleweight title on that Friday night, December 18th. Then the next night on DAZN, Canelo fights Callum Smith for the 168-pound title. So three of the biggest stars in boxing, Joshua, Triple G, and Canelo, all fight in the next couple of weeks on DAZN. Pay $20 for the month, you can watch all three. And then one of the rising stars, Ryan Garcia, fights January 2nd against Luke Campbell, who's a really, really good fighter, who almost beat Lomachenko. And so you've got four marquee fights that are all good enough to be considered main events, and back in the day they would have at least been on HBO when HBO still had boxing. And you know Canelo's good enough to be pay-per-view, and so is the Anthony Joshua fight. All four of those fights over the next 3 or 4 weeks on DAZN, and that's $19.99 a month. And so I know it's not ESPN, but that's a hell of a deal, you know?
Yeah, it is. Have they gotten some of the streaming issues sorted out? I know you were expressing some frustration with that on DAZN for a while there.
It's better. It's better than it was, because when Canelo first went there and even trying to watch anything, the sound wouldn't be synced up with the video and it would just lag and you know, buffering was, but and the other reason why they're putting so much into having this big month of fights is now they're, it's like their debut this month, all across Europe. And obviously, Triple G and Anthony Joshua, and you know Canelo's a worldwide star, and Luke Campbell is, you know, is huge over there, and so they're expanding, and I feel like now that they've got everything where it should be, they kind of bit off more than they could chew, you know, and they weren't ready to handle all of the subscribers and everything else maybe a year or so ago, but it's improved a lot, and this is a big month, so it's going to be really good. So get your yeah. I mean, there's your plug for DAZN, at least for get it for a month and then cancel if you don't like it.
There you go. Hey, real quick, Stephen, before we run out of time, this Ravens Steelers game, 2:40. One of the things I've been thinking about is
picking up RG3.
Well, thought about it, thought about it, but right. Not going to do it. I'm happy with my Taysom Hill pickup instead. But
right.
Look, everything seems to be stacked against the Ravens right now, and maybe they'll get blown out today. But I'm thinking back to Week 5 when the Titans had their outbreak and there was controversy everywhere around their team. Their game got pushed back to Tuesday against a good Buffalo Bills team, and they went out and they smashed the Bills. I don't know if it was like a circle the wagons type thing. Do you think there's any chance of something like that happening this afternoon?
I don't know. I mean, like, so much depends, like, what is RG3?
Right.
Like what is, like, I, it's like he, I don't know, I mean.
And what's their run game, you know,
right.
Minus Dobbins and Ingram, you're just
Gus. I like Gus, though.
I do, too, but that's not the change. Usually they like to have a double punch.
A huge part of their run game, too, is you have to account for the quarterback running the ball.
Right.
And also, I don't know, maybe RG3 runs a bunch today, but then that seems like a recipe to get him hurt.
Right. Yeah.
They also, and if you're wanting to ease him back in and hoping for success, you think, okay, we've got a stud tight end. Well, he's out.
Right.
And so,
isn't Campbell out too on the defensive line?
Yeah. And so, he doesn't have all his weapons. But I could, yes, it would help him a lot if he had the run game, but it's all going to depend on what he is. I mean, he's barely played. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if he comes up and has a hell, I mean, look, the Steelers, we've seen them play down to their competition a few times. They probably should have lost to the Cowboys, but they didn't.
Jeff Driscoll and the Broncos gave him a game.
Right, and I do subscribe to the theory that, hey, this is such a heated rivalry, and it's you know, the Ravens aren't terrible, but they're looking at this right now. That's a team that absolutely has their back up against the wall when it comes to the playoffs. And they could imagine what type of springboard this could be for the rest of the season if they were able to upset Pittsburgh today. I you feel really good about them finishing strong and making the playoffs. They lose this game today. I don't know. Does anyone want to bet on them making the playoffs? I wouldn't.
No. Huh.
This is a huge game for them, but man, they're just decimated. But it's all going to come down to, is RG3 a threat? What's he going to do? Because if he doesn't play well, they can't win.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. And I know Jeff Chedid told us yesterday that RG3 still fancies himself an NFL starter, and this is his opportunity to try to
showcase it today.
Yep. In the weirdest of circumstances, man, a 2:40 kickoff on a Wednesday afternoon, a huge game in the NFL that's got a lot of implications for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. We'll enjoy it. Stephen, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's have some afternoon football. Are you ready for some football? Yes, I am. Thank you.
Afternoon delight and football on that note.
Whoa.
Yeah, baby.
Are you ready for some football?
That's going to do it for us. We'll have a big show for you again tomorrow. Stephen will be back, as will Jake and I, hopefully. And the Zone is next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still beat the greatest funk. My left stroke just went.